This is special continuing coverage from NPR News of the massacre in Las Vegas. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. The shooting in Las Vegas last night is the deadliest mass shooting in modern American history. At least 58 people are dead, more than 515 injured, after a gunman opened fire on an outdoor country music concert from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. President Trump spoke at the White House this morning. He called the shooting an act of pure evil.
To the families of the victims, we are praying for you, and we are here for you. And we ask God to help see you through this very dark period.
Joining us from Las Vegas is NPR's Nathan Rott. Nathan, tell us where you are and what you're seeing there.
Yeah, so I'm in about 5 miles, actually, from Mandalay Bay in western Las Vegas at United Blood Services. It's a donation center. And one of the things that we've been hearing a lot from politicians, law enforcement, and all the press conferences that have been going on since this happened was a need for people to come and donate blood. There is a huge line of people here, hundreds and hundreds of people. It goes on for blocks. Most of the people that I've been talking to here are Las Vegans. They're from here. I've talked to some people, nobody that's been, was at the concert, but they knew people that were at the concert or familiar with the area. And so there's a lot of people that are shook up, but also a lot of people that are really kind of charged and feeling good about just the sheer amount of turnout here at this blood donation center.
Nathan, we can't imagine they're not shook up. 22,000 people were at the concert, and then thousands more were milling about outside. We've heard numbers of 40,000 might have been, you know, on the streets at the end of this 3-day festival. And look, there's going to be some sound now. We just want to advise people. We want to play just a little bit of the, you know, all this social media recording of that concert, so we have a lot of sound from what happened at the shooting. We just want to, you know, when you say people are shook up, let's listen to just a little bit of what they went through. Terrible. Yeah, terrible. I mean, 64-year-old alleged shooter Stephen Paddock shooting from the 32nd floor of the hotel down into this crowd of thousands. I mean, you know, what are people saying to you? It's not just that this happened. It is happening over and over and over again on social media and broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, this is not the first mass shooting that I've covered. I've covered a lot of these for NPR over the last few years. And so it's, you know, you go to these things, and I'm hearing a lot of the things here in Las Vegas that I've heard at others, where people have said, you know, some people that have expressed surprise, like, gosh, I never thought it would happen here. But then other people that kind of aren't surprised and feel like that this is an issue, that it's obviously an ongoing issue in the country. And so you kind of hear a refrain a lot from people that's, you know, it was only a matter of time, I guess, before it happened here, which is really hard to hear. But, you know, people have seen those videos. I saw some people watching some of those videos in the line, waiting to get blood. And, you know, it's something that people are talking about. But watching those videos, I don't know how much good it's going to do people here who live here, who are trying to deal with the trauma of having something so horrific happen in their city.
I want to bring in NPR's Tom Gelton, who is monitoring the investigation into this shooting. Tom, what more do we know at this point about the alleged shooter, 64-year-old Stephen Paddock?
We certainly have a lot more questions than answers. I mean, it's one of the most interesting interviews, excuse me, Jeremy, that just came out. It was from his brother, Eric, in Florida, speaking about Stephen Paddock, saying that they were absolutely befuddled why this would happen. It was like an asteroid fell out of the sky, he said. He said his brother had no religious or political affiliation. He said he had spoken to him recently after the hurricane in Florida, and they were talking about their power situation. Stephen Paddock evidently asked him about his mother. So we really have no idea why he would have done this. Now, on the other hand, what we know is that he had, according to law enforcement authorities, more than 10 long rifles in that hotel room with him. He'd been in that room for more than 3 days. He brought with him apparently some kind of hammer-like like device to knock out the windows and then started shooting at the people below. We don't know how long he shot. Some of the eyewitnesses said it was around 5 to 10 minutes. You heard from the audio that you played that was very rapid fire. I mean, that would certainly suggest that at least some of these weapons had been set on either an automatic or semi-automatic setting. Considering that more than 500 people were hit and injured, clearly there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rounds fired from him.
We've seen these images of the windows at the Mandalay Bay Hotel where he was, and there are two windows that are blown out in these pictures. Did he move from one place to another, or do we know?
We don't know that. The entire 32nd floor of the hotel has been shut down, and they've been very circumspect in what they've said about him. We also don't know. We were told, the sheriff of Clark County said that the gunman Stephen Paddock, killed himself, that when they entered the room finally that he was dead. We don't know how much before the SWAT team entered the room that he might have killed himself. We do know from what the sheriff said that Stephen Paddock, the SWAT team discharged their weapons when they got into the room, but presumably they did that just out of an excess of caution because he was apparently already dead. So there are a lot of questions. Now, in terms of the motivation, it's interesting given, you know, we've been talking about sort of jumping to conclusions and how often there have been theories ascribed to why people would do this. The FBI was very quick to come out and say that they had determined to this point no connection to an international terrorist group. They didn't wait even for someone to ask them that. They sort of preemptively said that. And that was at least in part in response to a very strange claim from the Islamic State, ISIS, that Mr. Paddock had converted to Islam sometime before and that he was a soldier for ISIS. Jeremy, one of the things that's really strange about that is that on the one hand, ISIS rarely makes claims for attacks that it actually hasn't had some role in. But there have been a couple, and this certainly on the surface appears to be one that there was no reason for them to make that claim.
Well, it could be because there's been a lot of fake news going out purporting that Stephen Paddock, instead of being the 64-year-old retiree living in a community in Nevada, was, a Muslim, was, you know, had an Arabic name. Those are fake reports, and perhaps ISIS saw that and decided to jump on it. But you've mentioned a couple things, Tom, and we want to hear some sound. First of all, this idea of officials just breaking into the hotel room once they discovered it. We have a little bit of the sound of the dispatcher at that moment. Let's listen.
Got the audience on the 32nd floor. SWAT has explosive breach. Everyone in the hall needs to move back. All units move back.
Breach, breach, breach.
And then, I mean, that's hard. I mean, they breached the room there with apparently some explosive device and found Stephen Paddock had shot himself inside the room. And you mentioned his brother, Eric Paddock, who has been doing all of these interviews. He seems stunned. He said it's like Mars fell on top of the family. They had no idea. They thought their brother was somebody who had a license for an airplane and, you know, went to Las Vegas to gamble sometimes. Here is Stephen Paddock's brother, Eric.
The fact that he had those kind of weapons is just, where the hell did he get automatic weapons? He has no military background or anything like that. When you find out about him, like I said, he's a guy who lived in a house in Mesquite and drove down and gambled in Las Vegas.
Tom Gelton, stand by a second. I want to bring Nathan Rott back. NPR's Nathan Rott, who's at a blood bank where people are lining up to donate. Nathan, what are people there saying about this is a guy from Las Vegas? I mean, it's so puzzling.
He's also from Mesquite, which is about, recent, and that's about an hour north of Las Vegas. It's in Clark County, though, and I think one thing that people get confused about is, I mean, the Strip is actually Clark County, too, and so when we're talking about Las Vegas, where I am at this blood bank, it's actually a city within it. But, I mean, people here, people are baffled. I mean, sound a little bit like the brother, obviously, of just wondering how the heck this happened and why it would happen. Las Vegas has a lot of events like this, a lot of concerts, a lot of festivals. I think it was a few weeks ago now, there's a Life is Beautiful concert, which I talked to a couple of people that were at that. And, I mean, they said, imagine, you know, being at a festival like that just a few weeks ago and then to imagine it happening at one.
Well, Nathan, I was going to ask you, we only have about a minute here. We've been asking all morning, do you get the sense that other things are going to be canceled? I mean, for fear of something like this.
You know, I do not have the authority to say, but here's my gut. It's Las Vegas. This is the economy. This is everything. I mean, Las Vegas is a place for people to come and to convene and to come to festivals or to have conventions or gamble or do all those things. I mean, the place is an attractant, and I think it's going to continue to be. And I think that I think you'd be hard pressed to find many people in city government or here that wouldn't want that, because everything in the economy is tied to that.
That's NPR's Nathan Rott in Las Vegas. We've also been speaking with NPR's Tom Gelton. Thanks to both of you.
You bet.
Thanks.
And you're listening to special coverage from NPR News.